Welcome back to another edition of the Cover 2 podcast. J-Mac and our boy Tim Kelly here today. Just the two of us again, the realist with other obligations. So he is not joining us for this podcast, and it's going to be an exciting one, I think. We're going to try a couple new things. We have a couple burning issues to discuss.
Much like the burn of a Cherishinsky going down the throat.
It goes down smooth. Really smooth.
Smooth like gravel. Sharp gravel.
And we're going to try a live interview via cell phone. This is probably going to go really badly. I'm not even going to pretend that it's not, but we're going to see how good these microphones are. We'll pick our games. We got a pseudo-political session because there have been the governor talking about football and then a political columnist criticizing the Georgia football team. So it's all sorts of completely random, all over the place stuff. And on top of all that, Georgia happened to lose Tennessee last week, which made us look bad in our picks.
Yeah, I know. I'd probably pick Tennessee. I rarely miss, so.
Mm-hmm. You're usually pretty accurate.
Right, yeah. Usually to the point.
I mean, you've predicted most games.
Uh-huh. And how many hot dogs are consumed by the entire crowd.
Well, I mean, you definitely called the Rutgers barreling out of the gate.
Yes, I did, yeah.
And you initiated the blackout.
I did, yeah, section. I did.
But completely random, though.
And I also built the 600 level all by myself.
That was impressive. It was a feat to behold.
I know. No one helped me either. I couldn't believe that.
Man, that's a lot of mortar to move around.
You're telling me.
All right, well, let's first get to what has now been officially dubbed Cherishinsky Gate. I'll let Tim fill you in a bit on the history of our tailgate with the Cherishinsky. It has a much more sordid background, though.
I didn't do anything about this. Mrs. Mamie Hartman had read, the guy that wrote that?
Warren St. John.
Warren St. John's book, Rammer Jammer, Yellow Hammer. And in it, he talked about Bama bombs, which are simply maraschino cherries that soak for a good long time in grain alcohol. Mm. So she suggested this would be a good addition to our tailgate, and that she had read on a fellow Georgia Dogs blog that was affectionately named the Cherishinsky last year before the Florida game. She had never claimed any sort of ownership or creation of these things. She didn't claim to invent them or the name. She just brought them along, and she said it time and time again that she did not dub them Cherishinskys.
Yeah, their name was born by, I believe it was Paul Westerdog.
Paul Westerdog, right.
At georgiasports.blogspot.com. Now, you're a law student here, Tim. Do we have a legal leg to stand on?
I don't know. I'm not going to go into all the legalese because, I mean, we would just be here way too long. And I don't have my lawyer and books with me.
Well, you focused on this in class today, didn't you?
Yeah, we did talk about it a lot in copyright class. It's a big issue. It's really kind of catching the law school and pretty much the nation by storm. All the big players are... actually, NBC has made it into a possible miniseries. Mm-hmm. I heard Alec Baldwin will be playing Matt Tavrog.
Yeah, and I think he's going to do an excellent job with that, by the way.
Yeah, Webster is supposed to be playing me, which I think is a poor choice.
Well, I think it's the hair. It could be the hair.
Yeah. I don't know, but that's NBC's problem. But anyway, we brought the Cherishinskys to each of our games, and they've been a big hit just for fun, and we've incorporated them into, among other things, our now weekly trivia game. And they've been a big hit, and we didn't really have any problems with it until Tent City blows up in the AJC.
Yeah.
And now we're a national story, known the world over.
We are. People, I mean, I've been stopped for autographs a good number of times. People keep running up to me going, "You were the guy mopping the chickens with sauce, were you not?" True.
Yep.
True, that was.
Trading cards are out.
Yeah, yeah. So they're sort of like those Desert Storm trading cards from back in the day.
I heard they were like those little Pokemon flip things. People are trading them, playing games.
I think they're holographic too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The 3D one of your wife is very impressive.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, like they'll say, my two carries beats your Julie.
which is unfortunate.
I know. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't make the rules.
I know. I know. Well, we're moving right along. We get good positive coverage from the Atlanta paper. It was a good time all the way around, and we're thinking we're enjoying ourselves. And lo and behold, we open up the AJC, or we open up GeorgiaSports.blogspot. Dave Akins actually forwarded this to us, and all over. So what we're gonna do? The picture of Matt Tavrog, the good mayor. We're getting him on speakerphone now. And you can hear the ringing.
Hello. Matthew.
Hello. Yeah.
You're live here on the podcast with us. We're discussing.
Oh, you're not even giving me a chance to warm up?
Well, we don't think you need it. You're pretty reliable, pretty dependable.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, give me a second. All right.
I think Tim will lead you through this. We just got to the point where you are now having arrows hurled at you, sort of our own little martyr, in a way, for Tent City and for the Cherishinsky. What's your whole take on this, on being accused and attacked and just defiled?
Cherishinsky game, is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
2006. Yeah, it's kind of what you have to come to expect these days, I guess. I had a written statement, but I threw it away. I just wanted to go with my gut. No, but I don't know. It's pretty insane. It's kind of humorous when you really think about some of the stories people put together. There was one on the blog that I saw that, because a while back when we were playing Mississippi State on ESPN, I wrote on the blog as a joke that, we were playing Ole Miss on ESPN, I wrote it on there as a joke that someday ESPN will show us the real game where we actually won 44-9.
Right.
And it turned out that somebody read that and then figured out at the turning point of the Tennessee game, Tennessee actually wound up going on a 44-9 run on us. and they put two and two together, and with that, the black shirt and the Cherishinskys, I was pretty much the sole reason why we lost.
You're sort of like that girl in the TV show Medium. You can foresee the future then, I think.
I haven't seen it, but I'm sure you're right.
Yeah.
So is it just you think it's a price of fame now that you're being cast as like the UGA witch doctor that brings nothing but bad luck to the football team?
Yeah, I mean, I look at the Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes of the world in a lot different light now.
Very, very true. Now,
do you have some sort of like fun little catch name? Like, are you like Chera Tavrog?
No, nothing like that yet though.
All right, now we're understanding that we're planning to have an autograph booth, something along the lines, I believe, of like a Santa Claus style. Come meet Matt Tavrog, sit in his lap, tell him what you want, what your wishes are. Are we okay with this?
Yeah, that's fine. I would prefer that there would be a very structured line, and people have hand sanitizer before they shake my hand. But that'll work.
Okay, well, good.
So, like instead of candy canes, are you going to give them, like, cigarettes and a rusty nail on their way out?
Yeah, nothing to that effect. I would think so.
Well, Matt, good sir, we here salute you. We thank you for your dedication, for your perseverance. Any final thoughts, any closing statements you want to give to us?
No, nothing at all. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I guess this is... long-time listener, first-time caller type situation. And I was hoping to hear what you guys thought about the upcoming struggle that is the Kentucky-LSU game.
Mm. Ooh. Well, Tim, I'll let you feel this one first.
Well, you know, we weren't really planning on talking about that, but thank you for disrupting the flow of the podcast.
Apparently, I disrupt the flow to whatever I talk about.
You know, that's a good question. I am a huge Kentucky fan, and it's going to be hard to give an objective opinion considering my blind loyalty to the Cats. I'm going to say Cats going down to LSU. Woo! I say Cats 35, Tigers 21.
Man, oh man. Well, I just want to, is Hal Mumme somehow involved in the game? Because if he is, Kentucky's going to win. But if it's Guy Morris, then Kentucky's going to win. And then if it's Rich Brooks, LSU is going to win.
Mm.
That's where I'm going to go with on that.
I like that.
Yeah, that's deep, what people tell me.
Yeah. Hal Mumme just kind of, I think he lurks in the shadows on the sidelines, so I guess he technically is involved.
I thought he was like living in a cave eating children or something like
that.
Well,
he was, but he came out last year. And now he just sort of crawls around the sidelines.
He works for the University of Florida now. That's right. Okay. Well, all right. Well, Matt, we salute you, good sir. We thank you for your leadership. We look forward to spending more fruitful years under your reign.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Go Commodores.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
I think that worked out well. I'm not sure how the quality of that's going
to
turn out.
I know. I think it did work out well, and we'll see when we try to listen to it tomorrow if the last 5 minutes were nothing but a staticky, poltergeist-like, you know, fuzz.
We do have another guest who has just arrived in the podcast. We have to acknowledge my wife here because
we've already mentioned her once. I said that she loses to Carrie in the Pokemon style game of 10 City Trading Cards.
Yes, but she we were trying to do a podcast last night. We had some technical difficulties, so she delivered for us and decided to go out and get all sorts of cords and microphones and other stuff. It's sort of disappointing none of that worked out, because had it actually worked out, it would have made for a really heroic effort on her part. Still, nonetheless, Tim and I thank you. Anything you want to say to our loyal listeners?
No.
Okay, she's fine. She's going to sit there and
read. She respectfully declines to comment at this point.
She'll get back. She'll work her courage up.
There is a big plate of ravioli waiting over there for Julie right now.
This is the most folksy, homey podcast we've done yet.
Sort of like
maybe my grandma can come on in a few minutes, and it just would really wrap the whole thing up.
It's like the Prairie Home Football Companion.
It really, really is. Well, so I think Cherishinsky Gate, about done. It did get a little coverage. Warren St. John put it up on his blog. Exchange emails with Mamie, I understand. I think we've reached a peace, though, with the rest of the dogosphere. I think we're able to put this behind us and unite.
All seemed in good-natured fun, yes.
Yeah, except for the burning effigy they had of Matt on North Campus yesterday. But aside from that,
well, that's weekly.
That is weekly.
There was actually less burning effigies of Matt this week.
Well, they were saluting him for his leadership.
I know.
Like we were doing.
So, I mean, usually it's about five, and there's only four and a half. Maybe they just got bored and only did the top half of Matt and then burned it.
It's the lessons of Texas A&M, I think. On that note, but so we think that's done. We thank the folks for positive tailgating coverage. As always, our city is your city. Please feel free to come by. And I believe we're doing a nautical/Lionel Richie theme for the Commodores, correct?
Yeah, a lot of seafood for the nautical, you know, naval commander Commodore thing. But I don't think we have too many. What's the Lionel Richie themed item?
Well, I think we just need to get a sign of the Commodores.
Oh, okay. But we don't have to actually eat like.
Well, I'd like
Lionel Richie made.
I'd like to see Dave do some sort of a karaoke cover of a Commodore song. You can think of one, and we'll offer it up for him later on.
I'm not, you know, well versed in the Commodore's catalog of music.
I just kind of know "Dancing on the Ceiling," but I think that was just Lionel
Richie.
That
was just Lionel Richie, yeah.
Someone has to dress up as Nicole, though.
Yeah.
We'll work on that too.
I'll try to get emaciated from now until Saturday.
You got 3 days. You better get on it.
It's not gonna work. Especially when there's keystones around.
Exactly. We're going to move on. We're going to discuss a little bit now of the political aspect. Sonny Perdue in the election year, the good governor of Georgia. We've all seen the little red Sonny for Governor stickers, which, you know, are pretty popular if you're a Republican and you are voting for Mr. Perdue. But he recently has, after the loss of Tennessee, decided to launch a one-man war against the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, decrying them of harboring negative coverage and negative ill will, I suppose, against the Georgia athletic program, and then against the schools in general.
And the entire state of Georgia.
Yeah, that's true, which I find a little hard to believe the whole state, but perhaps I could see the Georgia football. I don't agree with that, but I could see the argument for it. So that's where we are on the governor. And then on top of all that, yesterday or today?
Today, in the
Bill Shipp, a
syndicated columnist.
Longtime political columnist, I guess leans Democrat, wrote a column absolutely trashing the University of Georgia football program, saying they're not athletically or academically talented.
Yeah.
Which I believe is at least patently false for a variety of reasons, but
It's so, well worth a good read. And as I was telling J-Mac earlier, I'm not sure if it was supposed to be tongue-in-cheek and I just went over my head. Maybe it was. But it didn't seem like it to me on first read. I'm going to go back and read it again. But, I mean, there's some high-quality lunacy in there. At one point, he calls, the players morons. He said that something to the effect that, he doesn't expect our wide receivers to be in the honors program. He doesn't even expect them to be C students. And he said that, we got trashed by, as J-Mac said, the far superior academic and athletic team. And then he went in for a few paragraphs talking about our ineptitude on the football field, I guess probably for the last 10 years or so, because he says that the 10, 11, 12 rankings aren't good enough. If our athletes are going to be this dumb, then we need to be 1, 2, or 3 and be contending for national titles. It's pretty harsh words from a...
pretty high standards, too.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that Bill Shipp even knew what sports were. I don't mind his political columns, but... This was kind of weird.
Basically, he set up the whole thing saying that Adam said, there's a little bit of relaxation in the academic standards for the athletes because, quote, we need to compete in the SEC. And then the rest of the column suggested that we're not competing in the SEC, that we're getting thrashed in the SEC.
With the exception of the fact that, we actually won the SEC championship last year
and have
only one loss in the conference play this year.
Which, as I said, maybe he was, this is more high-minded and I'm missing it. But just go back and read it for yourselves. And then, feel free to email me and call me an idiot if I missed it.
Perhaps this is his Pat Dye moment. Maybe he's just trying to see if we're man enough.
Right.
I'm just putting that out there.
Weird time to pump us up right before Vandy. You should have waited until Florida, I guess, right?
Well, the Commodores are, I'm sure they can find another year of eligibility for Jay Cutler somewhere so they can almost have a winning season.
Commodores are, the as their fight song says, and is titled, Dynamite.
Really?
Yeah, that's their fight song. It's called Dynamite, and I'll just read you the first four lines because it's pretty gory. Dynamite, dynamite, when Vandy starts to fight. Down the field with blood to yield. If need be, save the shield. If victory won, when battle's done, the Vandy name will rise in fame.
Man.
And it goes on and on in there. A lot of more bloodshed and entrail spilling.
Yeah, I didn't know that they were just so violent and brutal up in Nashville, Tennessee.
They are.
Well, we should watch ourselves this weekend.
Violent and brutal, much like Vandy's distinguished alum, Amy Grant.
when I think of trouble,
yeah,
I think of that Amy Grant.
Wow, yeah, I know.
She is divorced.
She is. That's right. I think
she's walking on the
some serious sex scenes in movies, right?
I definitely think that the traditional Christian singer that she is, there might be a parallel.
Yeah.
Perhaps you're thinking of Amy Fisher. I don't know.
No, maybe that's it. Yeah.
So we have Vanderbilt coming up for Georgia, and Bill Shipp apparently trying to get us pumped up, and Sonny Perdue will, if Georgia, wins, and they say dogs win, he'll find a way to write a letter and rally his base up for that. But I guess, in a craven political way, I guess kudos to the guy for recognizing the vast majority of his base are Georgia fans, and doing this and knowing they'll think, hey, the governor likes the dogs.
Yeah,
it's gotta be for me.
That's true, but as I agree with Rick, I read the headline on Sunday and I didn't think it was. I thought it was pretty just. It said dogs get put in their place, and that's essentially what happened. And even Rick said if he had to write it, he said dogs would get whipped.
It happens now and then, and you learn from it and go become a better football team. So, but Georgia did get whipped by Tennessee, 51-33. Though we say whipped. It was actually a little closer than that. A couple turnovers, a few breaks here and there. Georgia, I think, could have feasibly won the game. So the defense didn't look great, but I think it's getting more maligned than it probably should be.
Mm. Yeah, they had the ball turned over on a short field, three times, four times.
See, the fumble.
The fumble, the two interceptions, and the block punt.
Yeah, and Tennessee recovered that in the end zone.
Right? That's not even their fault.
But three score, and that's the difference. So it's three scores to the difference. Now, Tennessee was moving the ball incredibly well, so there was a very real possibility they could have gone 80 yards against Georgia's defense. But giving the ball at like the 24, not exactly the best thing to be doing.
Yeah.
But were you surprised at Tennessee coming back to the extent that they did? You know, 44 points?
Yeah, like everybody else at 24-7, I was riding pretty high, and I thought, I thought things were looking good. But even then, 17 is not an insurmountable lead. Mm. And I think it was either the AJC or the Banner Herald today in their mid-season review talked about what could be the turning point of the season, and that was in the first half when we kicked the ball off to him after Mikey Henderson's punt return. Mm-hmm. And how the defense didn't stop them. They marched right down the field, scored that touchdown, and that really sort of shifted some momentum, I think. I think if we could have held them, gone in 24-7, that would have made a huge difference. But, who knows?
Yeah.
They moved the ball at will when they had it. Mm-hmm. We never, I didn't think our defense ever stepped up and stopped them.
No, they definitely had. I mean, they definitely had some gaps. I think the turning, I think the point of no return was after Tennessee had pulled within 24-21, Georgia puts together a good drive, goes down, and on a third down play, Tereshinsky misses Craig Lumpkin wide open in the corner of the end zone. It was a beautifully designed play. He just couldn't get to him. I think that was where I kind of realized that Georgia's going to have to score touchdowns because it's going to become a shootout. So
yeah.
That would have made it a 10-point game versus a... I guess they got it back up to a 6-point game, so...
Yeah, 27-21. That's, weird. Andy Bailey, though, came through.
I was impressed.
Yeah, didn't really... I mean, aside from that miscue on the extra point at the beginning, but luckily he had that call back, I guess, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, you get a mulligan. I think if we should get a special teams mulligan each game now. Yeah. I think that'd be good.
But he did pretty much what we wanted him to do, and that was not notice him, so...
Yes, and that was good. A little fun fact is my father and I had a tradition, and I say a tradition because we did it twice, of going to the Auburn game together, and we went to the 04 Auburn game. In fact, we're 0-2, so we kind of decided we needed to go watch them play like UAB regularly
from
now on. But we went to the 04 Auburn game where Andy Bailey effectively lost the job, and we were sitting directly behind his parents.
Oh, that's
nice. It was kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah, I imagine.
That was a good time. My father also saw a roommate of my mother's from college, which was
awkward. Was there any sort of
no? It was just
jealousy there.
I think all the stories that we have from college, my father had probably tenfold, and it was just kind of weird to have him referring to people by nicknames.
Oh right, yeah.
So there you go. Maybe my dad was D-Mac.
D-Mac, yeah.
Perhaps he was. He is from now on.
Or he was the executioner.
Well. That's for a whole different reason. We don't like to talk about his days in Central America.
When he served as the dictator of, what was it? Paraguay?
Sure, yeah. Well,
more South America?
He conquered a lot of countries.
He did, right.
It was a very short period of time.
I saw it on the History Channel.
Yeah, it was a rough time for the family. A lot of turmoil.
But you got a lot of bananas, I heard.
Well, it's why the family hates Reagan.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, he, forced out. Yeah.
He Reagan sending troops and... I mean, funded all those anti-McGinty forces down there, and that's why we're gone.
And that's why you're all coke addicts to this day.
It is. For the record, we're not coke addicts. Just for the record. So that's the loss of Tennessee. Didn't play that well. So I think they're gonna bounce back. But you know what concerns me? It doesn't concern me. I actually was completely wrong about this, but Florida's pretty freaking good.
They are good.
I didn't realize that they would be that good this year.
Yeah.
And
I didn't either, but
I thought that offense would still have a long way to go. And I still think I'm not totally convinced it's going to work in the SEC. I'm not interested to see how they do against Auburn and then against Georgia and do it on a yearly basis, but they're really, really good. I'm also curious to see how they're going to look when Tim Tebow has to throw the ball that isn't like a jump shot.
Right, yeah, no more stutter step, pop-up throw. I will say that I didn't watch all that much of the Florida-LSU game. I was busy in some intense matches of cornhole at Tent City. But I do think that they are very good. I think their defense is good, and if they make it through this incredibly hard schedule undefeated, then they should definitely be go to the national championship, bar none.
I think they are. I don't know where I've completely reversed. I had picked Auburn in the beginning of the year, but they've struggled against... They didn't look great against Carolina. Arkansas just waxed them. And I think Florida's going to go in there and win that game. unless Auburn is just has a chip on its shoulder. But I think I look at it as just a reversal of fortunes. I see Florida now being able to beat Georgia, being able to beat Auburn, and being able to beat South Carolina, and go unbeaten and play for the title, and they'll play Ohio State, and then they'll lose to Ohio State probably, but it's neither here nor there. Unless somehow Notre Dame gets it with three losses. So,
which I wouldn't really mind all that much.
Big Charlie Weiss fan?
I've always liked Notre Dame.
I know, we've had this discussion before. Yeah.
Which you already get. Now we're trying to get into our picks, and you already gave away your pick.
It was a segue. So I guess I'm already gone on record saying that I like Florida to win that game.
That'd be like, you know, you were at game day and you were Lee Corso and you had the big Florida Gator head, but then you gave it away like at 10:30 in the morning.
Or if I was I wore it to the set.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That'd be good too.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess it's my turn for Florida Auburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
We usually have some very deliberate segues into our picks, which I'm kind of missing this time. So could you do that again?
Yeah, like just...
Like here, you know, all right, so now we're finished talking about that. Let's go into our picks.
Well, do you want to do a random fact first?
Oh, sure. I thought Washington Huskies have some pretty interesting alums. Diane Cannon, the actress. Really? Hank Ketchum, the creator of Dennis the Menace.
Hmm.
And Bruce Lee.
Really?
Yes.
I wouldn't have expected him to have gone to the University of Washington. Did he get his degree there?
He's a distinguished alumni, I assume that he was. Man, I assume he finished.
Because you know, we work on the caveat is that you know Georgia had that Sawyer guy from Lost attended Georgia for like a year, and then
Holloway, Josh Holloway.
Yeah, and then Newman.
Yeah.
Spent 2 years at Georgia. So
yeah. Just recently, we're starting to build up some alumni.
As
we talked about on an earlier podcast, our old alumni were pretty sad. Yeah. CEOs and Deborah Norville.
and then a guy who hosts American Idol. He was like a year ahead of me in telecom.
The Ryan Seacrest?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I think I probably didn't know that, but I just kind of blocked it out of my memory.
I think I remember his name. I never knew him, but I remember seeing his name places.
Did he like raise his hand and then like, you know, say something like, how, you know, would you crack into the top 12 markets of media? Seacrest out.
He did not, but it was funny. Scott Hartman did.
Did he really? Well, I bet that Seacrest stole it from Hartman.
He did.
It was like Hartman out, and Seacrest is like, that is it.
But you know,
my key.
Even the weirder thing is Hartman was saying Seacrest out. We couldn't figure it out.
Wow. He is. Hartman is a media mogul. He saw it coming. He looked around the room. He's like, which one of us is going to make it? That guy. I'm gonna get this guy a catchphrase.
He's
selfless. He never asked for, you know, any money for it.
He likes to develop talent.
He does. That's where his joy comes from.
It really is. So is that a good segue?
That was perfect.
Okay.
So anyway, at Auburn, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you. Like, I really, you know, of course, I'm rooting for Auburn this game. Now that we have one loss, I'm just gonna pull for all the SEC's teams to lose, and just let it shake out at the end, and not try to think about it too much. Just assume we win all of our games and hope everyone else loses. So I want Auburn to win, but I think Florida's gonna win. I don't, you know, I think Auburn suffered a little bit of that, you know, overrating by the press, and I think they might have bought into their own hype a little bit. So I just don't think they're all that good.
Auburn?
I mean, they're good. I don't think they're as good as Florida, so I think Florida's going to beat them.
Florida's defense has been a heck of a lot better than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, so. No one's talking about that either.
Okay, we'll stay in the SEC. We won't stay for long, though, because it's Alabama, Ole Miss, and neither team is playing particularly well. Bama struggled against Duke at times last week, which is bad.
Yeah.
And then Ole Miss is, well, it's Ole Miss.
Yeah, they just haven't seemed to get their offense on track. But I have it on an inside source. There's a Bama fan and alum. He told me, I asked him today, I said, what do you think about this Bama Ole Miss game? Because I thought maybe Ole Miss might play them a little bit closer than what the spread is, which I think is about 15 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere in the mid-teens. And he said, oh, Bama's going to blow them out. He said, I don't know why it is. He's like, but Bama kills Ole Miss at home.
All right.
So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to say Bama kills them.
You know, prior to the Georgia-Tennessee game, I told someone the day of the game that I was convinced Georgia was going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Oh, good.
So we'll take that into consideration as we pick this game.
So why hasn't that been added to the list of jinxes before the game?
I don't know. It should be.
Well, it's coming out tomorrow.
It will.
Yeah.
The my biggest jinx was not wearing the red lucky shirt, but as I argued before, it lost a lot of its charm because it lost West Virginia and Auburn. So I decided not to wear it anymore. Right. And I have a new red shirt that was given to me for Christmas, but it's not working out too well either. So perhaps I need to go, I don't know, navy blue, try something completely off the wall. Or I should get one of those real fancy Nike Georgia shirts. Those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I think they're expensive.
Yeah, Hartman's got one.
I'll talk to him about it.
Yeah. I see he's trying to find the lucky shirt. That I wore that old one this past week, which...
Yeah, it's usually a good one.
Yeah, I mean, it's lost to West Virginia, lost to Florida last year. But it's got a spotty kind of record. It won the SEC championship. You know, I don't really know. But my new shirt is 5... It's a very sad 5-0, but it's still 5-0. So I'm going to stick with that. If we're 7-0 going into Florida, I'm going to give the new guy a chance. I'm going to give the rookie. It's time for him to step in and do some damage.
Don't ever forget, I know you only wear it for one game a year, and it was a gift from me, but I think the Season of Desire shirt...
Oh, that's good. That's definitely Tech.
I mean, it's definitely Tech, but I think that might have some mojo in there. If we
if we beat Tech, then I'll wear it to the very next game. How's that?
All right.
Okay. Did you ever make your pick on this? Bama Ole Miss?
Oh, Bama, yeah.
Okay.
Michigan at Penn State.
So our Michigan's big receiver's out, Manningham.
Yeah, he's Mario.
Mario Manningham.
So they're going to look to Luigi to be the number two.
Okay, good. Not Bowser?
No, not Bowser.
But I mean, I don't know. Michigan looks like they're cruising, and I guess if the realist is here, he'd probably do a little dance around the room talking about Michigan. Apparently he's a huge Wolverines fan. He talks about him constantly. So I'll take the realist spot today, and I'll say Michigan.
Yeah, Penn State, as we learned last week, was one of my my number two teams that I liked if Georgia never existed.
Right.
But I think they got too many questions. Even though it's at home, Michigan's really good, and I think it'd be really cool to see an unbeaten Michigan-Ohio State showdown to end the season. So yeah, I'm going to go with Michigan.
All right.
Virginia Tech at Boston College, a Thursday night showdown, ACC special.
Yeah, I mean, I admittedly haven't seen these guys too much. I watched a little bit, the Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech game. I don't know. I just don't think Virginia Tech doesn't seem to have that.
Is there a Vic playing quarterback?
I don't think so. You know, right. I haven't heard any of the, what was the made up nickname that they gave Kevin Jones and Lee Suggs, that they had an online contest to determine? Remember, it was like the Untouchables.
Oh, right.
But it wasn't even, they wouldn't even give it to it. It was just like they just had an online poll for it, which is ridiculous. So, anyway, I don't know. I haven't heard too much about Virginia Tech. And Boston College played Clemson, really beat Clemson.
Yes.
Which now looks very impressive. So I'm going to say at Boston College, let's go with Boston College.
I'll go Boston College too. And I'll make this pick solely. The Red Sox did not make the postseason, so I've got to give Boston some
Stick
credit
with Boston.
Somewhere.
Right, okay.
We did Bam already. Our new favorite team at the Cover 2 podcast is Rutgers.
Right.
And it's a huge showdown. This is big because Rutgers wants to keep the momentum going for their later games with Louisville and West Virginia. So Rutgers takes on Navy, and Navy having a pretty good year too. So
right.
Tough
and,
call.
Yeah, I know. We've been pumping up Rutgers, and they've been getting the podcast mojo from they're cruising. But I'm going to stop that train right now.
Uh-oh.
I'm a Maryland boy, so I mean, I'm going to say it's Navy true. Coming out of Annapolis. They're gonna run all over Rutgers. It's going to be Rutgers' first loss.
All right, I will disagree with you on that.
Uh huh.
I think the Rutgers juggernaut rolls on. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to be incredibly daring here. Rutgers is going to go undefeated this season with upsets of Louisville and West Virginia.
Wow, that's insane.
Rutgers is this year's TCU.
Somebody. Yeah. Okay, TCU.
Because they've been unbeaten in the past, or one loss, right? They've had good records.
Yeah, Boise State's a good
one. We're going to change that. Rutgers is this year's Tulane when Tommy Bowden coached Tulane.
Okay.
Because they were unbeaten.
Okay.
All right.
So we're just going to send you on a one-way trip to an island, and we're going to put Bill Shipp on the island with you.
Yes. Okay. Please. As long as he brings some sort of board game, we're good to go.
Yeah. Connect Four. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
The random game of the week, Western Michigan, Northern Illinois.
Okay.
I don't know about you, Tim. I don't know a heck of a lot about these teams. Why don't you read a fact from each one, and then we'll pick.
Well, I do know that, you know, Garrett Wolf is from Northern Illinois, which I think I brought up last week.
He
was one of my Heisman dark horses. And
he's a good ball player.
He played on Sunday night and ran for like 170 yards, a couple touchdowns. I don't know if we've mentioned this before, but distinguished alumni of Northern Illinois include Joan Allen, the actress.
Wow.
Who was in Pleasantville. That's the first thing I think of off the top of my head.
She was also in one of those Bourne identity supremacy superiority okay. movies.
Don Castellaneta, the voice of Homer Simpson.
Ooh, well, this is settled.
And Dennis Hastert.
Say no more.
I know. I mean, wow, that's in the news.
But he's been trying to cover that up, though. He's known
exactly, yeah,
time.
Right, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he knew that the voice of Homer Simpson was a distinguished alumni, but he didn't want to talk about it. Western Michigan's distinguished alumni, Tim Allen, Jim Boughton, the author of Ball Four and Baseball Pitcher.
Wow.
And Luther Vandross.
Oh, yeah. This is a tough call now.
Yeah, the Luther Vandross.
The ladies
really
love Luther Vandross.
Really brings it together.
All right. Who was the third ever coach for West Virginia or Western Michigan? Can you find that out for us?
I can. Milton Olander.
Well, this really makes it interesting.
William Spalding was the coach before. I wonder if that's any connection to the Spalding Sporting Goods.
Probably.
Maybe.
Well, it's a tough. I think you just got to toss a coin here.
Milton Olander, by the way, finished 12-1-1. He only coached 2 years, but that's a pretty sterling record.
It's settled. I'm going Western Michigan in this ballgame.
All right. Well, I'm going to go Northern Illinois. I'm going to go Garrett Wolf. I'm going to go...
Dick Hastert. Dennis Hastert. Dennis Hastert? Speaker of the House.
Dennis Hastert.
at least for the next month.
Yes. I'm going to go Hastert and Northern Illinois.
Okay, good. Well, now we get to, I would say it's the main event, but it's the Commodores. It's Georgia Vanderbilt. Hopefully, Georgia can wash the bitter taste of the Tennessee loss out of its mouth with a thrashing of Vanderbilt, but who knows? As I said, perhaps Jay Cutler has some eligibility somewhere. So Tim, what do you think? What do you like? What do you say?
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what to say anymore about UGA. I think, you know, I just assume that we're going to be pretty ticked off about the way we played and that they, you know, the receivers are going to want to build off the momentum and... Mm-hmm. You know, Thomas Brown now is the running back installed after Lumpkin missed some key blocks, I guess. But they both ran well. So, I mean, the offense looked pretty good. The defense is going to be angry. I'm going to say we win. And, you know, I guess I'll just keep being optimistic and say
like
we
that.
Win by, you know, 3 touchdowns.
Okay. Well, I can go with that. Georgia's going to win. I think the big thing is to see how the defense responds. Talent-wise, Vanderbilt's no match for Georgia. The main thing is to see if they... I'm curious to see what the defense, what the alignments are going to be, if they decide to make a more concerted effort to blitz, or if they keep playing more of a zone-based defense. But again, it always depends on the opponent and what kind of scheme they throw at you. So, I'm going to sound just like a member of the Georgia coaching staff. Vanderbilt's a well-coached football team, so... they've definitely played way above their head the past couple of years because they got good coaches on the staff. But I think the defense is going to come to play. I just don't see how Vanderbilt can compete. So I'm going to go Georgia, probably 2-3 touchdowns.
Good.
So that's it. We did our picks. It's just been the two of us. We did a live interview.
Yeah.
My wife came and disrupted us a couple times. That was good.
Pleasant disruptions.
I hope you enjoyed it. We hope you tune back in. We'll try to do another one of these on a regularly scheduled night, and we'll talk to you folks later. So we'll see you next week.